Father, I ask that you would guide us today, direct us, open our eyes to your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Open with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, that's where we'll be today. And Kurt already read the main verse that we're going to be looking at. But last week we began this journey of rediscovering Christmas. Sounds like a kind of a strange title, Rediscover Christmas. But I think we are in a world where a lot of what the real meaning of Christmas has kind of gotten lost. So as we get into this, what we call the Advent season, the Advent simply means coming or arrival. And it's marked by expectation and anticipation and celebration. Advent looks in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Christ's first coming. But it also looks in anticipation to him coming back for his people. So each week we're going to focus on a different gift of God's coming, of Christ, represented by Jesus' coming. Hope, last week you talked about hope. Peace, we're going to look at this week. Next week we're going to look at joy. And then the week after that we'll look at love. And each of these can help us rediscover Christmas. Christmas is the answer to the chaos in this fallen world. Not the trees and the gifts and the lights and the food. Nothing wrong with any of that. I'm not an anti-Christmas celebration guy. But the true meaning of Christmas is the answer to our turmoil in this world. I saw a cartoon not too long ago, and it was talking about peace and how to get peace. And I'm going to put it up. I'm going to put the words up on the screen because the cartoon itself was a little sketchy. But I might be able to put it up there. Oh, I forgot to plug in. There we go. And this is what the cartoon said. It said, "My therapist told me the way to achieve true inner peace is to finish what I start. So far today, I finished 2 bags of chips and a chocolate cake. I feel better already." I don't recommend that. I think Jesus has a better plan. And today we're going to look at Christmas through the eyes of the shepherds who witnessed the very first Christmas. So let's turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And we'll begin with verse 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." How many of you have heard that passage in that portion of the story before? Yeah. Like we've talked about before, one of the dangers with being in God's word so much, and I know that sounds weird, but there's a truth to it. One of the dangers is sometimes we read something so many times that it becomes common. God's word is anything but common. But you know what I'm saying. You read it and you read it, and every year we come to it, and every year we see, we read through the shepherds, we're like, oh yeah, that's nice. Or we see a nativity scene, and we see the shepherds, and we don't really give it a second thought. But imagine what this was like. Imagine what this incredible announcement looked like to the shepherds. They were common, regular guys. But suddenly, in the middle of night, now let me step back for a second. If you were a shepherd back in the day, the most exciting thing that could happen to you is stubbing your toe, or a sheep maybe wandering away, or maybe there was a wolf that came in or something. That would be the most exciting thing, but typically it was night after night after night, day after day after day, just watching sheep, okay? This night, all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, in the dark, darkness of Bethlehem's countryside, an angel appears in the sky. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen too many angels pop up in the middle of the night. He didn't come alone either. There was a heavenly host with him. We don't know how big that host was. Some people like to speculate that it could have been as many as 10,000 angels. We have no idea what a host actually makes. We just know a host is a lot, okay? And they begin proclaiming God's glory and peace. These are not religious guys. These are guys. And out of the darkness of the night, this explosion of light and the sound, the choir of angels sing and declare God's glory. And I think often, what did it sound like to hear the angels sing? Angels that have been singing for thousands of years. What was that celestial harmony? What was that like? What was that like to these guys? Now, the audience for this, you would expect this grand announcement to be this dramatic show of angels. You would expect there to be, they would come and they would show royalty, or they would show the priesthood, or they would show very important people, big shots of the day. But they didn't. They were shepherds. Ordinary, average Joe, night shift, keepers of sheep. Unlikely recipients of this message of the peace of God. Unless you're familiar with the rest of the Bible, where shepherds have a prominent role, not only in the overall scope and sequence of Scripture, but also in the coming of the Messiah. Abraham was the original recipient of God's covenant, okay, where he said your people are going to bless all the nations. Now, what did that mean? That means they were going to introduce people of the other nations to God. Okay, and El Shaddai, the Almighty God, would bless the world through them. You have Moses. Moses began, and what was by the way, what was Abraham's occupation? He was a shepherd. Yeah, he was a shepherd. Moses began as a prince of the most powerful nation on earth. Then he received a divine promotion to the position of shepherd on the backside of a desert. That was his promotion. And Jehovah Adonai, the eternal God, used him to lead his people out of 400 years of bondage, bringing him back into the promised land, setting the stage for the Messiah to come. Then, of course, you have David, Israel's greatest king, forefather of the Messiah. He did not come from royal stock, okay? But if you looked at David's resume coming into becoming king, the only job experience he would have had on it would have been shepherd, maybe giant killer too. Okay, maybe that would have been on there too. I think I would have put that on. I would have been like, yeah, I'm just a shepherd. But not really, I also killed a giant. But that's all he was. He was a normal guy, yet God used him to shepherd God's people. And El Elyon, the mighty God above all, placed the entire future of the plan of the Messiah in David's line as a shepherd. So we see, it's not really unusual for God to announce his plan, his coming, to shepherds. It probably would not fit with your typical marketing plan today or social media or anything like that. He went to the shepherds, okay? And then the shepherds went and spread the good news of God's peace to all men. But what does that peace look like to us? You can follow along in your notes. We're gonna look at what God's peace looks like in this Advent season. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would say that your busy lives tick up a notch during this time of year? Yeah, it's crazy. But we're gonna see how God's peace can can help navigate us through that. So first of all, peace comes in the midst of the storms. I mean, that's the whole definition. If things are calm, you don't notice peace coming in. If things are already peaceful, you don't notice the peace of God. But when things are chaotic, when things are hectic, that's when you notice you need peace. How many of you have ever been in a hurricane, experienced a hurricane? Okay, a couple of you. I remember growing up, one hurricane in particular, it was, I mean, the wind is crazy and the rain is coming down and everything is chaotic. But then there's a point in time during the hurricane where everything calms down. It's the eye of the storm. This particular hurricane, for me, in fact, and it was very surreal, very strange. But this particular one, I remember it like it was yesterday because I think I was a senior in high school. And I know some of you are saying, that's a long time ago to remember, but just bear with me. It was so significant. And I remember all the wind stopped, all the rain stopped, and I was like, what is going on? And I went outside, and I could see the sun. There were birds flying around. And I thought, the storm's over. And it was like in the movies where you see, where they do the slow motion and they put everything around kind of the main action and everything around the world is slowed down and calm. That's what it felt like. And I was like, wow. And I took a deep breath, but then the wind came again because the eye passed through. And then you get the backside of the storm, which the wind is going the opposite way and knocks all the trees down that were weakened from the first part of the storm. But in that midst of the storm, there was this peace, this quietness, this calmness. And you know, many people this time of year during the Christmas season, they would describe the Christmas season as busy, hectic, and chaotic. Does that sound about right? A lot of people describe it that way. It's busy, it's hectic, and it's chaotic. It's crazy. You know, maybe it's an overloaded schedule that robs you of your peace. Maybe it's something more. Maybe in the midst of this time of year, maybe you're experiencing a relational conflict or an illness or pressure at work, a lost job, maybe a lost loved one. These are things that hit us. We don't think about that unless we've experienced it. But there are people around us coming into this time of year that we're so excited. How many of you like Christmas? You can't not put your hand up for that one. I mean, come on, it's a church. Yeah, we're excited. But the truth of the matter is, some people come into the season carrying a lot of sorrow because of loss, because of pain, because of chaos, relationship chaos, whatever it may be. And for many people, peace sounds a long way off. It sounds like a good idea, a nice thought for the holidays, but no chance of actually happen. And if this is where you find yourself today, let me encourage you that Jesus shows up when the storms of life threaten our peace, our hope, and our joy the most. He's there with us in the midst. Psalm 139 kind of gives us a picture of this. Psalm 139, beginning of verse 7 says, the psalmist writes, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, in the grave, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." God never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Regardless of what you're feeling, regardless of what you're thinking, regardless of what you're seeing in the world around us, there's a lot of chaos in the world right now. There's a lot of turmoil in the world right now. But you know what? It's always been like that. Since the garden, it's always been like that. And you know, God says he's never away from us. He never leaves us. The Lord says, "Let the storm come. I'm there with you. Let the chaos come," because we do live in a fallen world, right? A world that's seeped in sin. Okay, so until Jesus comes back and fixes that, we're going to be experiencing what's going on around us, which is chaos. But Jesus says, you know, "Let the storm come. I'm going to be with you in the storm. I'm going to walk side by side with you." And this is where the Christ child was born. in the middle of Israel's darkest night, under Roman oppression, for centuries suffering and wondering. And they asked, this was probably a big question, where is God in all this? Where is God in all this? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever been in the middle of some suffering and been like, God, where are you? It doesn't make you a bad person. I've asked that question. I've had things happen in my life. I'm like, God, I really need to know where you are. This place, church, should be the place where we could be the most honest, raw, authentic, anywhere in the world, outside of your own home. And we need to, I can admit, I've asked that question. I'm like, God, where are you in this? There's a tragedy in the world, or somebody who seems, you know, an innocent person seems to be hurting, or whatever the case may be. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to know where you are. And if you've been alive for longer than a couple of years, you've probably asked that question. Lord, where are you? Where are you? Sometimes we wonder why he doesn't just take away all our pain, take away all of our struggles, make everything smooth. I had one of those days the other day. Angela and I got through a sickness, and I want to thank you guys for praying for us. But just before it, I had one of those days, and help me out, where every single thing went wrong. You ever have one of those days? It doesn't matter what it is. I get up out of bed, I stub my toe. That's when you really can tell if you're following the Lord or not, is when you stub your toe, by the way, depending, you know, what comes out of your mouth. You'll really be tested, okay? Then I get outside and the car won't start. And I'm like, okay. And then I go back to the house and I slip. And it's just like a bunch of little things, but like it felt like hundreds and hundreds of little things. Just little things that just didn't go right. And I was like, and I got so frustrated and I stopped and I prayed. I'm like, Lord, why does it have to be so hard? Why does life have to be so stinking hard? I took a deep breath, and you know, I didn't hear a voice out of heaven or anything, but I've read my Bible, and it was as if God was saying, "You're not in heaven yet. If everything was smooth and easy and nice and happy and joyful and good, and you wouldn't need heaven, and you wouldn't need me." And I was like, "Ugh, but why is it going to be so hard?" We do ask those questions, and it's okay. God is not threatened by our questions. He doesn't want us to be disrespectful. He doesn't want us to be blasphemous. He doesn't want us to be heretical. Yeah, of course. But God can handle any question that we bring before him. And as his children, he says, come, ask. And in this situation, in the midst of life's chaos, pain, and suffering, and difficulties, God stepped out of heaven into our lives to bring his peace. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about what that means. Because some people would say, okay, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and brought peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Then why is there still chaos in the world? I've had people ask me that. People say, oh, I could prove that the Bible is not right. He said he's going to bring peace, but there's still wars. I'm like, yeah, there's been wars ever since. And there'll be wars until he comes the second time where he abolishes that. But here's the true meaning of peace is not the absence of conflict. The true meaning of biblical peace is a calm assurance of the presence of God in the middle of the conflict. That's biblical peace. That's the shalom peace. That's a peace that passes all understanding. Is when the chaos is coming, you sense the peace of God. You sense the presence of God. That's the true meaning of biblical peace. And this is where God continues to show up for us today, in our pain, in our fears, in our confusion, in our grief, in our loss, in our doubts. He's with us, and he brings his peace with him. Here's the neat thing. He doesn't just show up, okay, because peace also carries us through our struggles. It carries us through our struggles. Now you might say, yeah, that sounds nice, but it still hurts. Yeah, it does. Pain, loss, sorrow, uncertainty, hardships, fear, anger. It's painful. I'm not going to deny that. However, peace stands unwavering in the face of all those things. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what individual struggles that you have at the moment. I would love to be able to say to you, I understand what you're going through, but I don't. Truth is, you're the only one that really understands what you're going through, and maybe not even you. Maybe you're in a place in your life where you're like, there's something up. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of stuff going on, but I don't know what's, maybe that's you. Or maybe you've got something that's right in front of you, like, I know exactly, and this is hard. That could be you too. I don't know what that stuff is. But never forget that as deep as your pain is, there's a peace that runs deeper. There's a peace that defies your circumstances. There's a peace that carries you through the storm. It is real. It can heal your heart from past wounds. It can guard your mind from the present and from future onslaught of anxiety, depression, and fear. The Apostle Paul describes it like this in Philippians chapter 4. Beginning of verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." Look at verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything." Be afraid of something and somebody says, "Don't be afraid." And you're like, "Okay, but how?" He goes on. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And verse 7, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." See, the peace that Jesus brings with him is beyond human understanding. It finds its source in the divine. It's supernatural in nature. It's not subject to earthly circumstances. Happiness is. I wasn't happy last week when I was sick. It didn't make me happy. But can I experience God's peace in the midst of that? I certainly can. And that's the thing about God's peace. It's untouchable and out of reach of the struggles of this world. We read here, "Rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious. Bring everything to God in prayer." And we read these words, but we don't always understand what the Lord is trying to tell us, because God's peace is beyond understanding. It will guard our hearts and minds. The key is in Christ Jesus. That's the key. By the way, I need to clarify. Whenever I put a verse up there, and if it's underlined or highlighted, that's me doing it. It's not divinely ordained or anything like that, okay? But that's the key to this verse. The key to this verse is peace comes in Christ. Peace comes not by stoking it up. You know, I can't go home and be like, I am gonna have peace no matter what, and I will scream at anybody that says otherwise. You can't amp up peace. You can't stoke up peace. You can't make yourself peaceful. You can't guilt yourself into being peaceful. You can't trick yourself into being peaceful. Peace of God is in Christ. And that's the key to our peace. In fact, our final point is peace is a person, and that person is Jesus. It all comes back to this transcendent truth. Peace is a person. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." What does that mean? God created us. God made Adam and Eve, created us, gave us a beautiful paradise, and then we turned. We sinned. Sin came into the world, okay? We brought chaos. With sin comes death and chaos and this. Now there's a barrier between us and God. That's what sin is. Sin is a barrier between us and God. That's really the essence of what it is. Sin brings death. Why? Because it's a barrier between us and God, who is eternal, who's the giver of life. Sin brings sorrow. Why? Because it's a barrier between us and God, who brings us joy. And anything that you're dealing with, it comes down to that. And I'm not saying it's because of your specific sin. I'm not that guy that says, oh, you did X, Y, and Z. That's why this is happening. No, there's a sin nature. There's a sin saturation in our world that's making it fallen. And it's put up a wall of hostility between us and God. And Jesus came, died, paid the price for that, and broke down that wall. What happened in the temple when Jesus was crucified? What happened? What was the big thing? Yeah, the curtain, the 11 layers of curtain, which would take six chariots of horses to pull up there, was ripped from the top down, signifying that the way to God, the way to the Holy of Holies, is now taken away. The hostility, the wall is taken down. It's taken down because of Christ. So our peace doesn't come from us saying, hey, you know, I'm gonna really focus on peace today. No, peace comes from Jesus, the one who tore down the wall, the one who broke away the barrier between us and God and makes that way open. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. By saying that, he's saying, come to the Father by me. He is our peace. He is the one that gives it to us. He offers it to us. And long before his arrival in Bethlehem, the prophet Isaiah said this, and it's a verse that we read a lot during the Christmas season. This is hundreds of years before Bethlehem. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and what? The Prince of Peace. This child that is born, the son that is given to us, brings the power and rule of his peace into our personal lives. He's the bringer of peace between us and God. The sacrificial lamb, the giver of life, the embodiment of shalom that we find in our relationship with him. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says this, you keep him in perfect peace. Here's the key. Whose mind is stayed, whose mind is focused, whose mind is consumed on you because he trusts in you. Here's the key to peace. Here's the whole key to peace. It's not, how many of you have ever heard of doom scrolling? You ever heard of doom scrolling? Yeah. Doom scrolling was big, really, got really big back in 2020. And it hasn't gone away. Doom scrolling is you go on social media or the website and you find and you get all the bad stuff and you just keep scrolling through and you keep seeing the bad things, keep seeing the bad things, keep seeing. Guess what happens if you consume that over and over and over and over again? Guess what happens? You begin to feel that way. And it's like anything else. I like chocolate cake, but if that's all I eat every day for the next year, I am going to be dead. Okay? As good as it tastes, I am going to be dead at the end of that. Doom scrolling is that thing over and over and over and over again. Look at the verse. Look at the verse. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is focused, whose mind is set, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And it means far more than our English word does. It pictures calmness, wholeness, wellness, harmony, tranquility, serenity. Why? Because it's focused on the one from whom that comes. When the Hebrew people would greet each other with shalom, it would be translated like this. They would say shalom, it would be translated like this. All is well when nothing is well. That was the practical, actual interaction they would have with each other. They would meet each other. They would say, all is well when nothing is well. Why? Because nothing can take away the peace that comes from God because he's above and beyond it. As our minds and our hearts are focused on him, does it mean walking around ignoring the bad in the world? Absolutely not. Think about what the word means, what the word shalom means. It all is well when nothing is well. It means we're in the storm, but we're not alone. We're focused on the Lord, and we know he has a plan, and things may not be good right now. You may be here today, and you may be like, wow, you know, there's a lot going on in my life right now, and I get that, and I never want to trivialize that, But the truth of the matter is, wherever you are, Jesus is right there. And if your mind is focused on him, it's not going to wave a magic wand and make everything go away. But what it will do is, it will settle your heart and your mind and fill you with a peace that passes all understanding. And that peace is what we're looking for. The peace of God within us runs deeper than the troubles of the world around us. It runs deeper. I heard an illustration one time of submarines. Any of you ever been on a submarine? Oh, cool. They're not fun. It's like a tin can, you know, and they're tight and you're small, right? Here's a neat thing. When there are big storms in the sea, storms where the waves are going like 30, 40, 50 feet high, guess what the submarine does? Anybody know? Dives deeper. And they don't even feel the storm because they're going to a deeper place. That's what Jesus is telling us here. He's saying, I'm deeper, I'm bigger, I'm more than anything that you can face in this world. Come to me, he says. Set your eyes on me. Jesus himself said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Look at this. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because Jesus gives us his peace. Peace of the world is simple, okay? You got a neighbor that doesn't like the crabgrass. I'm not a big lawn guy, so those of you that are and you have a visit, don't look at my lawn. As long as it's green, I'm happy. Even if the green is weeds, it's still green to me, right? But my neighbor doesn't feel the same way. So I try to take care of that little part just to make sure that it doesn't, you know. And that's, we have peace now. You know, like, I'm sorry, I'll take care of that. I'll pull that stuff up. We're good. That's peace. It's only going to last until next spring when those weeds come back. That's the world's peace. It's temporary. It's shallow. It doesn't stand the test of time. God's peace is greater than all that. God's peace shines in the darkness. In a world drowning in chaos, Christ's peace can saturate our lives and calm the storms that we face. And I've got a statement for you up here that I want to share with you as I was praying about this throughout the week. Peace with God brings the peace of God. It is a peace that settles our nerves, fills our minds, floods our spirit, and in the midst of the uproar around us, gives us an assurance that he has everything under control. That's God's peace. That's God's peace. And this week, as we draw closer to Christmas, let's draw near the Lord and seek his peace. Worship him like the shepherds. My prayer for all of us this week is that Jesus is in Jesus' peace is in the midst of your week, guarding your soul. With a peace that passes all understanding, fulfilling your spirit with the wholeness of shalom. My prayer for you is in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace give himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. That's the whole key to peace. And that's how we rediscover Christmas this year, and the peace that God gives us is to set our minds on him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. I'm going to also ask the worship team to come back up. But as you're sitting where you're sitting there and your eyes are closed and you're kind of contemplating this thing about peace, remember, the peace of God finds its essence in this statement, the peace with God. And Jesus came to give us that peace. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you might say, I'm not a really religious person. I haven't been big on church. That's not where peace comes from. That's not where salvation comes from. Salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation comes from Jesus Christ. And if God has spoken to you today, and you have not trusted in him as Lord and Savior yet, but you want to, you can. He says, call upon me and you shall be saved. And I want to help you do that right now, quietly to yourself. If God has spoken to you and you want to know Christ and you want to know that you have a home in heaven that can never be taken away, you can pray quietly to yourself. God will hear you. You can say, Lord, I'm not perfect. I've sinned. And you can say this. Say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but right now, this moment, as best as I know how, I turn from my sins. I turn to you. I place my faith, my hope, and my trust in your risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Everyone's heads bowed, everyone's eyes are closed. If you prayed that prayer, I would love to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come up here or do anything like that, but on the way out, could you let me know? Just say, hey, yeah, you know, I prayed that prayer with you today. And then I want to keep you in my prayers throughout the week. Father, we thank you, we love you, we cherish you. Lord, for those who may have called upon your name today, I ask that you would make your presence known to them in a very special way. Father, fill us with your peace. Help us to be focused on you this time of year. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Right, let's rise. We're going to sing as soon as Walter does his thing. There you go.
The ushers would come forward. We'll go ahead and bow another word of prayer here. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the idea of peace and the promise that you give to us through your Son. We saw that here in this sermon this afternoon, Lord. We just thank you so much for that promise. Help each of us.